You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. No underscores, no stars, no hashtags, no numbers, none of that. ClockRadioSpeakers.com has everything, SoundCloud, iTunes. Vote and comment on iTunes. We haven't asked you guys to do that in a while. That'd be great. Vote and comment in iTunes. And I said we because there's no me, there's no show without DOC. No one can do it better like this, that, and this.
What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter, doc_beats, S not a Z.
Underscore. Make sure there's an underscore. There's a doc beats, DOCBEATZ, Z not an S. We don't know who that is. So he's guilty by association.
He's not with us, he's against us.
Yeah. Underscore beats, S not a Z. Get that right, son.
So anyway.
Yeah.
What's good with you, man? What's new?
Chilling, man. Chilling. We are live from the new laptop. I finally upgraded to what's the word I'm looking for?
The future. The present.
Yes. The present. I'm definitely not in the future, but I'm definitely in the present. I was rocking in 2007 for a long time.
You know, you had the Bapes, you had the LED belt buckle. Every time you sat down at your computer, you had to complete the experience.
I mean, yeah, the Bapes. Yo, if you want comedy, go watch that Soulja Boy video for Bapes. It is amazing. It's like a scene where because he had a bunch of fake Jordans. Like, it's crazy now that we have Nike ID, and then now that Nike is kind of taking on, like, all these different colors. You right. can really get away with wearing those fake Jordans that we used to see on, like, CoolKicksWithAZ.com. That were all of them were like $69.99, and they would like fall apart after like your third wear. You really get away with those now.
Mm.
But you could just say, "Oh yeah, these are the flying daggers or something."
The quick strike 5,000, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I sound like crazy. An old man when I say that, but you know,
we get old, son. We get old. Other than that, I'm good, man. What's up with you?
I've been busy, man. Recovered. Thursday, I went down to New York to see Quadrin. Is it Quadrin? Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Quadrin and Mayor Hawthorne.
Hate your guts. How was it?
You know, aside from me almost collapsing halfway through, it was a...
What? What happened?
Let me take this opportunity to say that I completely nitpicked their mix the entire night. At the show, and I was proved right. So there's a sort of phenomenon that typically happens. Apparently, like it happens sometimes at like EDM shows or places where the bass is like obscenely loud. So bass is, I'm gonna get nerdy here. Bass is directional, right? Like that's why you can put your subwoofer off in the corner because it'll bounce off walls and everything else. So because of that, there is always gonna be spots, whether it's a room or a concert hall or whatever, where the bass is heavier. And the bass was insanely loud anyway. They actually had to kind of keep... They were clearly tweaking the vocal levels all night. I happened to be standing. The bass was so loud that it wasn't just rattling my chest. Like, I could feel, like, my innards, like, shaking and floating. And apparently, wow. There's a phenomenon when the bass gets really, really loud like that for a sustained period of time, it can trigger, like, a drop in blood pressure. And that's what happened. Apparently, my face got white as a sheet. And then I literally just, like... I had like jelly legs. I was just like, "Oh, you know, there I go." Wow. And of course, the whole time, because I'm recording this, right? Because I always record the concerts. The whole time, I'm like trying to like, you know, I'm trying to like my wife and my friend who were there are trying to like escort me off, and I'm like, "No, no, I'll go. I'm gonna go sit over here. You keep recording." You know, I'm trying to get them to keep recording because that's what I do. But it's a good show, great show. But man, that was interesting.
That's crazy, man.
It's all good. I love live shows, though.
See, I don't know. What are you going to do, like, if you ever come to Ohio and I perform at one of these?
Your sound check's going to be, like, 3 hours long because I'm going to be sitting there like, nope. Nope.
These underground hippity-hop.
I mean, look, there's a way you can do it and a way you can't. Like, no joke. That was just – it was the loudest, like – it was crazy. So,
speaking of which, you might have to make a trip down to Columbus. I need to holler at you after the show.
Get my frequent filer mileage in order.
Yeah. Get some stuffs and things to discuss.
I was going to say, every year me and my wife, we do a best picture marathon at a local theater. Okay. So I saw the best picture nominees. That was 12 hours. Actually, I saw 5 of them, 12 hours in a row on Saturday. So I'm just recovering. But
like,
we'll talk about the Academy Awards in a little bit. But
hey, before we get into that, I got to mention that our mix show,
right,
our Clock Radio Speakers mix show, it's also, as you know, every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, thepulse-radio.com. But also, we have been green-lighted. So if you miss the show Sunday night because it's kind of late, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, the Academy Awards is on and football's on and everything that's going on out in these streets, Monday afternoon at noon, 12 to 2, you can catch the replay. So that is pristine. I'm at my desk. You can get Clock Radio Speakers in your system. So pulse-radio.com or download the TuneIn app, which I highly suggest you getting it, just even if you don't listen to Clock Radio Speakers, which would just be crazy in the first place.
Yeah, but seriously.
The TuneIn app is a great app. I even paid for it. I got the Pro edition. I think it was like $4, but I got it during the Google Play birthday thing, so I think I paid like 99 cents for it. But it's a great app. You can record live radio. They've got Hot 97, they've got ESPN, they've got a lot of, I don't know if it's Clear Channel, I don't know what it is, but they definitely have a lot of radio stations in the country and around the world. So highly suggest you get that app. And then you search for Pulse TPC. T is in terrible, P is in P is in
Pharrell.
Pharrell, and C is in Chad.
I was gonna say Carol City Cartel.
I was thinking of something from Ross, but yeah, where are they?
Well, isn't one of them Gunplay?
Yeah, one of them is Gunplay. The other is Torch, and there might be another one. Oh, Breed, I think Breed or something like that. Torch can rap though.
Where's Gunplay right now?
He just dropped a single.
I saw that.
But I haven't heard it. He's venturing into that the Gemini Gemstones category where like you're dropping way too many mixtapes. We need you over some original production.
Right.
With some mixing and mastering. We just need some songs to identify you with because we know you can rap. Now we need to know if you're an artist, if you can make songs. So, you know, I still think there's country for Gunplay. He just, you know, you're always one hit away, especially in today's market.
What were we talking about? Oh yeah. So we'll talk about the Academy Awards in a little bit, but, trying to think. So obviously this week when we talk Pharrell Williams, we're going to talk, Rick Ross. Before we really get into that, following up on last week, if you haven't heard it already, go to clockreducespeakers.com. Check out, we went in-depth on Schoolboy Q's album. Well, we tried to go in-depth. Armand, has it grown on you at all? Have you listened to it?
No. I have not. This week was all Mayor Hawthorne and Quadron. I've been listening to a lot of that. And a lot of Mastermind. A lot of Mastermind. I've probably ran Mastermind back a good amount of times this week.
So maybe I should do a 1.5. I've been debating a 1.5, which we'll talk when we get there. So Schoolboy Q, last week we were wondering, you know, Collard Greens didn't really hit. Is there really, like, are there legs to TDE? And Schoolboy, number one album in the country, 138,000.
That's crazy. Now, let me just play devil's advocate for just a second.
Okay.
Did he have any competition this week?
It's a good question.
I know, like, it's a big thing to, you know, I got chart position on iTunes and, you know, I got the number one album in the country. But when, you know, if you're the only album that comes out this week and all your other projects are that you're up against have already been on the charts for a considerable amount of time, you know, it's a little different.
Let's see. He was competing against the Frozen soundtrack. Nope. New albums from your man, Kid Cudi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did the Beyonce.
Kid Cudi sold 85K.
Hey.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. His fan base is very loyal.
Very loyal.
Very, very loyal.
Astoundingly loyal.
Yeah. You used to be a Cudi fan. What happened?
You know.
I mean, it happens. It happens.
Beck has an album, you know, he's back from the dead, but okay. You're right. Not a whole lot of big contenders this week.
And then you've got the Interscope Machine.
Interscope Machine. But hey, Schoolboy didn't have a hit single.
He didn't have a hit single.
And
that's what, and that's very crazy for me to him do 130. Now I wonder if that is, and you guys can chime in using the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. I wonder if that is because Schoolboy has a dedicated fan base, or does TDE have a dedicated fan base, or is it both, or is it, you know, do people? I mean, because people largely like the album.
They do.
I was definitely in the minority of people who didn't really enjoy the album. Everybody, I really haven't heard too many negative comments about the album, so. Like what? Like, of course, the fans. If you're listening, please chime in and let us know what you think. But Doc, what do you think?
I think they did. He's been everywhere. I think he has a loyal fan base, and I think if you're somebody who you consume your hip hop by, you know, seeing what's on BET, or if you are listening to the radio. Interscope fired up like the old school marketing machine, like the marketing machine that people sometimes forget about, right? People knew his album was coming out.
Yes, they did.
There was no secret. It wasn't sudden. It was, you know, they knew the album was coming out. They were able to build towards a date. I think a combination of just persistence with the marketing, but you know, I think there might be something that, you know, TDE, I mean, for Schoolboy Q to go 138, that's pretty good.
Is this
I mean, French Montana, I don't even think he did. Did he do half that?
I think
that's almost half. French Montana, who the New York media would have had you believe is the second coming of who knows what.
Did they?
Man, he's been yet another round of he's doing this for New York. Like, you know,
he's doing this for New York. Did you hear the Biddy? I almost called him Biggie and Diddy in one person. I almost called him Biddy. you heard the new Diddy record?
I listened for like 30 seconds, and then I immediately realized this is a Ross throwaway that they just gave to Diddy, and I'm like, well, this is a waste of time. I have no idea what they think they're accomplishing with that. No clue. That song will go nowhere.
No, it won't.
It's already forgettable.
It's already.
Already forgotten. Doesn't exist. It's the problem is first of all, it sounds like a Ross track on a week when we're hearing a lot of Ross. So it gets lost in the shuffle. And unfortunately, it's not good enough to be people like, oh wow. Like
I agree with that.
Maybe why wasn't this on, you know, like nobody's talking about it because it just floated off.
I think the problem is much like Ross, and we'll talk about his album a little later. Much like Ross, we want to hear Diddy on expensive production because we know Puff has the budget for it.
We do.
He can just call the hitman in and, you know, put together a flipping orchestra and, you know, get in some good ghostwriters. You know what I'm saying? And make an album. Like I said last week, I don't think he's had a whack album. So, you know, but this isn't the best start.
No, it's not. This, I mean, people forget. Actually, I take that back. So it's much, you know, much reported that, oh, well, you know, Diddy executive produces for Ross. Well, let's look at that rollout for Ross when we get there. Keep that in mind in the back of your head when we get to side B of this week's episode. We talk about Ross. Like, maybe we shouldn't be applauding Diddy too much because you know, Ross's rollout wasn't exactly stellar, right?
Yeah.
And this is not a good sign from Puff at all.
You know why I'm not worried? Because we live right now in a culture where your bus single quickly becomes a Target bonus track. Very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So he's getting, yeah, we could turn it into a verb. Oh, that just got yay-yayed.
Yeah, we could. there's a new Clock Radio Speakers word.
Define, what the definition of being yay-yayed? Well, that's when your buzz single gets the Best Buy, extra bonus, deluxe, whatever. All right. Yep. I like it.
Yay-yayed.
One thing that was really interesting, so Billboard has an article about TDE that I think this week.
Yeah, great article.
Nobody else at TDE is officially signed through Interscope.
Yeah, but we said that.
I don't remember that.
We said that a long time ago. Kendrick is the only artist signed to Interscope.
No.
Everybody. Or no. Wait. Hold on.
Wait.
Am I hearing? I think I might be hearing and processing you wrong.
Yeah. What we knew is that Kendrick was the only one signed through Aftermath, and we thought everybody else was on Interscope. But it turns out that only Schoolboy is signed through Interscope. And in fact, the bidding war will now begin.
Oh. Then I misread that. Wow. And, you know, I think we've long discussed who was the next, and, you know, probably going to go with Absol at this point, unless they want to switch it up and put SZA out to kind of, you know, shake things up.
I was going to say, speaking of Absol.
Yeah.
He's got this record with Lupe.
Yeah.
Thorns and Horns.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty good. And, you know, if TDE ever want, if they, it'd be interesting to see if TDE starts to get to that place that this, if they follow the stereotypical pattern of how what happens to like hip hop crews or hip hop labels, excuse me, if they get to the point where they start looking to sign a veteran, Lupe Fiasco wouldn't be a bad touch.
To TDE?
Yeah. That could sound real nice. Saying, if they get into the, if they start feeling real good and Interscope's letting them do whatever, and you know, it happens all the time.
They'll turn the G-Unit. They'll have a 4-page spread cover with Lupe and Spider Loke and Olivia.
I mean, Interscope's got a track record for this, right? I mean, you know, look, you know, the Slaughterhouse fans can get mad at me, but Slaughterhouse isn't signed to Interscope if Eminem's not their patron, basically.
No, definitely not. But I think Slaughterhouse knows that.
As well, they should. I'm just saying. So. Down the line, because Lupe and Absol, this is a good mix.
Yeah, he could fit.
He'd have to swallow a lot of pride, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would. And I think that might be one of the things that may not work.
That might
Lupe
be
signing to a younger upstart label. But at the same time, like, he's definitely whatever. It's weird. Lupe's in a weird place because Lupe definitely will not work under a major. Just based off of what he's doing with Atlantic, how he's obviously just going through the motions with them to, you know, fulfill his contract. Lupe needs a budget and he needs an A&R. He needs those things. He kind of needs somebody to. I think Lupe is still very creative, but he needs an A&R to tell him no. And he also needs somebody else to go and get him beats. But, you know, on that darker TDE, Soundwave, Tay Beast, those type of productions, he could shine. There's a lot of those Schoolboy and Lupe records that he definitely could do work on.
Mm.
And I still think I still hold on to the fact that there's a good album or two left in Lupe.
No, you're right. He, you know, every good writer needs an editor, and every good artist needs somebody to help them.
Yep.
Artists don't do it by themselves.
Nope.
And he needs that, you know. And, you know, 15 years ago, he would have had a support structure around him, but we're not in that world.
Yeah, have you, if you haven't, listened to the Combat Jack episode with Sauce Money that just came out this week.
I saw that poster, but I didn't listen to it.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Reminds you of a lot of how the late 90s structure was and just how different the industry was then compared to now. And he kind of tells a kind of shady Jay-Z story too.
I'm not surprised. You don't get to Jay's position without a lot of shadiness going on.
Yeah. They always say that there's a trail of dead bodies on the road to success.
But anything else aside from Academy Awards? Anything else you want to talk about from this week? Anything that was out or?
Nope.
All right. So, how many of the Best Picture now? How many of the movies did you see that were talked about for the Academy Awards? You saw Her.
Three. I forgot about Her with good reason.
Oh,
but
come on.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about Her? Because I kind of told you what to expect going into it.
I liked her.
I liked her.
Sounds like you're about ready to go. That could have been turned into a Lupe line right there. I liked her. Right. And then you talk about the movie and you bring it back to the girl. And
you're stupid.
I'm giving you ideas for songs.
I'm not in songwriting mode right now.
Uh-huh.
Go away. Nothing to see here.
Anyway. No, I liked her. I mean, it was the only movie I saw, because I saw all 9 of the Best Picture nominees over the past 2 weeks. It was the only movie I saw that made me think.
Okay.
You know, they're describing a world that is clearly like sometime in the future. But you know what really made me think? Like when they start showing like that it's not just him walking around, like,
yep,
but everybody else. And then you're like, that's exactly what happens now.
Yeah.
You know, so I made that connection. Yeah. Yep. You know, the whole, I mean, with a lot of spoiler alerts here, I apologize, people. You know, the whole concept of really like, so have you ever heard of this phenomenon in movies called like, it's like the manic pixie dream girl? Have you heard of this concept?
No, I have not.
So this exists in movies a lot where there's this idealized, often like kind of spunky and young and like whatever romantic interest who's always this idealized version. And this pops up in movie after movie after movie or TV show after TV show, sort of like the Zooey Deschanel type characters or they are these sort of one dimensional kind of characters that sometimes pop up really just to be this like idealized whatever for the main male character. They're just being a foil, right? This is like a sort of a trope in film. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, is the operating system that he's in love with, is that just like, is that meant to be like a digital version of that, or did it evolve to be that way because that's what the programming was? It was meant to evolve to what people need. Like, so I thought it made me think, which I appreciated. I love the way it was shot. I really love the score. The score is by Arcade Fire. I just liked that movie. I thought it was really good. I know you were depressed by it.
I was very didn't they capture like isolation very well?
Absolutely.
I felt very alone watching that movie, and I had company watching that movie, but I felt by myself watching that movie. Like, I felt they captured that very well. And his depression that he was dealing with prior to, and then even, you know, through their issues with the OS, they captured that very well. And it made me think with the same line or along the same lines as you, where it's like, yo, this is totally plausible. This could totally happen. Matter of fact, it's probably prophecy. And there's a good chance that this is going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. So that I liked, but, you know, I don't want to watch depression. Like, I didn't, you know, just like I didn't want to watch, you know, I'm good off a slave movie. So I'm good off of 12 Years a Slave, even though I hear it's amazing.
That movie is. It is.
Yeah. See, I'm good. I'm good. I want to be happy. I want to be for real happy.
Mm. So then you liked American Hustle.
I did.
Cause you know, that movie's just bopping along, even though there's huge chunks of that movie that you're like, I don't really know if that makes sense, but I'm just rolling with it.
Yep.
Yeah,
it definitely. I think one thing that I always tell people about that movie is, you know, it's compared to Wolf of Wall Street, and I always say that you'll like it better if you see it before Wolf of Wall Street.
I it's just,
yeah.
No, I thought, you know, I still enjoyed it. It's not, it wasn't my favorite movie of the year or anything like that. If you haven't seen Captain Phillips, you need to go watch Captain Phillips.
Heard good things about Captain Phillips.
That movie
Phillips
was great.
That's crazy.
Tom Hanks, he is great in that movie.
You don't pop Molly, you rock Tom Hanks.
Anyway, speaking of the Academy Awards.
Clap for a captain. With his sailing. No? All right, I'm
clap
done.
For a rapper with his captain. Mm, yeah. We just lost the entire audience. Your man Pharrell.
Skateboard P.
Shows up. He's got the hat. He's got the 2006 kicks.
Yeah, are you talking about the red Adidas that he had?
Yeah, those were bright.
Those were very bright. I wonder, does that confirm a deal with Adidas?
Well, he had the Adidas jacket. He was all Adidas'd right. out.
He was Adidas'd out.
But he performs happy.
Yep.
I don't think Columbia could have asked for any more other than actually winning, because he's got.
He had Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. He's got Lupita from 12 Years a Slave. He's got Amy Adams doing like the body roll. Like, yeah. And then he had Jamie Foxx up on stage. Like, yeah.
Why was Jamie Foxx there?
He was available. I'm sorry. That was me.
Oh, that's horrible.
But no, you know, cool performance. Like, you know, perfect for that song. The one thing I was surprised at, like, how, because they know, like, they know roughly the order of the show. Like, if you're Columbia Records, now I know it's expensive to advertise during the Oscars. Don't you have an ad for the album right after that, the next commercial break?
Well, I think, yes, you could, but number one, the album came out the next day.
That's right.
So people went on iTunes looking for Happy and said, oh snap, he has an album coming out tomorrow. So yeah, you could, but I don't think they lost too much with that, because when you had it there, it was already ready. You could even listen to the whole thing if you go to iTunes Radio.
Right.
You could listen to the whole album right there on the spot and then decide if you want to pre-order it and buy it tomorrow. He was number one in 60 countries.
I saw that. I haven't seen the projections for that, but let's talk about the album. You want to talk about the album?
Is there anything else regarding the Academy Awards that we need to talk about?
I thought it was pretty predictable in terms of who won and who didn't win, and you know,
yeah,
I wasn't surprised by anything. I mean, I'll say I was disappointed. I wouldn't have picked all of those choices, but you know, that's what happens every year.
No projections for Pharrell just yet, but there's good money. The projections will be out tomorrow.
Right.
Or today, you know, whenever you listen to the show.
That's right. That's right. But no, you know, I wasn't as blown away by Gravity as everybody else.
Yeah. There's a guy I work with who was like, you have to see that movie right now.
See, like, if you can see it in theaters, or you got to see it on a really big screen, it's a spectacle, right? It is an experience. As a movie, you know, it's got some problems.
Gotcha. So what movie did you pick for Best Picture then?
I'm Best Picture, actually, I'm totally happy with 12 Years a Slave winning. It's not a movie that you are necessarily going to want to go back and watch five times.
Okay.
Because it's so emotionally, like, wrenching.
Yeah.
But replayability doesn't equate with greatness.
Not
in movies.
Not like with music.
Right. It's can be closer to like a novel where like sometimes like you might read a great novel but you're like, I can't handle that again right now.
Sure.
Sure.
Yep, great point.
So you mean Pharrell?
Yep.
We knew he was going to have an album coming out, and then sort of out of the blue, a couple weeks ago, this gets announced.
Yep.
Lead single's Happy, which we'll talk about when we get to that in the album.
Yep.
No other lead single for this.
Nope.
No buzz singles, nothing else was leaked or anything, right?
Nope. Just Happy. Happy was originally for Despicable Me 2. Pharrell, you know, scored the soundtrack, scored the soundtrack, scored the movie. You know, as we have documented very extensively on the show, number one hits across the board. Not only just number one hits, but just a lot of records. You know, he was working with everybody from Robin Thicke and, you know, Daft Punk all the way to Currency. And, you know, so he was definitely on a wide spectrum for 2013. So an album was very, very much in the cards, very likely, very predictable. So, of course, all of us Neptune fans were excited. I just didn't realize how quick it went from the announcement to the CD actually dropping. And then Happy is just kind of taking on a second life.
Yeah, I read a little bit about this. So they apparently Columbia purposefully didn't really want to push Happy in the summer because Pharrell was everywhere.
And it would have gotten away.
It would have just got sort of lost in the mix.
Lost in translation.
So yeah. What they did is they held back. And that's why that 24-hour video came out in November, because they really wanted to start the promotion again to ramp up for Oscar season to get it for Best Song in a Movie. Yep. So, meanwhile, way back, as soon as Columbia, because Columbia is Daft Punk's label as well, as soon as Columbia heard Get Lucky, they called him in and they said, it's time. You need to make another album.
Yeah. He talks about this story in, I believe, GQ.
Right.
So
he's recording last year, and they clearly had most, I'm guessing this album was essentially in one sense or another finished for, you know, at least a little while. And I think that Happy blew up so much. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the original plan was, all right, assuming Happy at least gets nominated for the Grammy and for the Academy Awards, we use the dual push of Academy Awards, when he's obviously going to be up there for Daft Punk and for Robin Thicke, and him performing, and that's what we used to launch him again as a solo artist. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the original plan. But Happy blew up so much that they didn't have to release, because they get to hold back on these other songs to be a second single instead of like. And, you know, if Happy does well, but not as well, then clearly they have to come out with another single to launch the album. They don't have to do that right now. So it seems that they sort of struck while they could, right? Yeah. It seemed obvious. So they probably looked at it like a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever. They were like, look, we could see where Happy's going, right? We can time this right. And they did. They timed it perfectly. He's number one this week. Happy's number one. He's going to have the number one album on iTunes. He's probably going to debut at number one. You know, performing at the Academy Awards, like, you couldn't pick a better time to release this album, at least from a like marketing and sales aspect. Anything else you want to say about sort of all the stuff that led up to this before we talk about the music?
It was just great. You know, I just think that the trend of creatively finding ways to engage your audience and spreading that out is definitely working out. You know, some people can't drop out of the blue. Some people just, you know, again, don't talk about it, be about it. I think that's the mantra of some of these artists right now. They're taking a sort of an indie approach to, you know, a major label debut. And I really like the rollout for Pharrell's album. You really couldn't have drawn it up any better for you to be on the Academy Awards performing your song and your album is out the next day.
Right.
You know, that from All-Star Weekend, then I believe I heard that Happy got picked up on, I believe it was 100 different, like, I think his BDS spins increased. I think it was like 1,000 or 10,000, something like that. And then the album comes out. It was just perfect. It was very well done by Pharrell and his team.
Right.
Let's get into the album on that note.
So it's a relatively short album.
Yeah.
They say it's 10 tracks. It's really 11 tracks. But track one, Marilyn Monroe. You got those, you know, those Hans Zimmer strings orchestra at the beginning, and then all of a sudden it drops and it turns into an updated version of a early 1980s Michael Jackson song.
Yep.
Right. And I mean that in a good way. Like I like this song. The song's dope.
Yep.
It's a little long.
Yeah.
I got a little nervous.
Some parts of this album kind of felt like he had been listening to some 2020.
Very much so. I mean, if I remember correctly, 2020 opens with strings as well, doesn't it?
It does. Push a Lover Girl.
That's right. Yep. This is almost like a response to Push a Lover Girl. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway. Yeah. I was almost taken aback at how much it sounds like an old Quincy Jones, like 1980s production. But I like the song. I don't know if this is a potential single, really.
Nah.
But it's a really good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it could just be like trim. Like, ironically, a radio edit of this song would be fantastic. You know, he's one for one. Track two. The long-awaited.
Yeah.
I guess that they technically reunite on BBC.
No. You just want Pharrell and Justin. So you want Like I Love You. You want Rock Your Body.
Right.
You want that. You don't want, you know, it just so happens that we're on the same song. Because I'm sure, if we looked at credits and even unlisted credits, Pharrell and Justin have probably done more work together than we know.
Right. And ironically, we even get some, that's Timbo, beatboxing on the beginning on this. This song is not what I expected.
It's not.
It's so, and I'm going to use this word a lot. It's so happy. This is the most upbeat album.
It is. It's a very happy album.
I can't remember if you said it before we started recording or not. It's almost too cold to listen to this album right now.
It's totally too cold to listen to this album.
It was 8 degrees when I walked out this morning. I can't even listen to Brand New when it's 8 degrees.
Yeah, nah. I don't want to hear loud horns, and I need the windows down. You know what I'm saying? I need some riding shotgun. I need that to listen to it. I don't need gloves and overcoats and stuff.
Yeah, this is a song you listen to when it's like that first like really nice day of spring, and that girl you've been trying to talk to, you finally set a little something up, and you're just kind of like, you're doing the, you know, I have a date with Lisa thing on the way home, and you're just like, you know.
I have a date with Lisa. Isn't that wonderful? I was thinking Sherman Club Friday night at 8, but that works too.
I could see this being a single, though. Just because it's Timberlake and Pharrell.
And that alone will sell units.
I think, you know, it's funny, like, I really want to see the reaction to people to this song and really a lot of these records on this album, because it is such a, parts of this are so, like, incredibly positive.
And that's funny, and it's funny you say that, because we live in such a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cynical.
Yeah, very cynical, very ho-hum drum.
Too cool, you know, for school.
Too cool for school. Yeah, so it's like when somebody's happy all the time, it's a lot of people get turned off by that.
Right.
But, you know.
But no, yeah. I kind of like this. You know, like the melody just sort of like floats along. You got the horn blast and the hook. Like it, you know, it definitely feels like something inspired a little bit by 2020, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it totally sounds like a 2020 leftover.
Well, remember,
and that's not a diss.
Didn't we hear that after 2020 that they were going to work together, and then we were all like, "I wonder if he'll show up on 2020 Part 2." This is probably what that meant.
Yeah.
By that point, that was spring, so he was probably already recording at that point.
Yeah.
But I like this record too. You like this record?
I do, but again, like much of this album, I'm just going to get it out. I could not connect with it only because the weather was so cold.
Mm. You need to revisit this like around Easter time.
Yep. About two more months. It was one of those, like, it just made me mad that it was cold outside albums. I'm just like, God, I really want to be in some cargo shorts and some sneakers and a hilarious t-shirt. Like, that's what I want to do.
Track three is Hunter. How do you feel about Hunter?
I'm not really a big fan of this record.
This is a misstep. It's like kind of like late 70s corny. Right?
You said late 70s.
Right? I mean, the main melody is a little repetitive. This song does not work for me at all. I'm totally skipping this every single time, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right.
But there is a... have you heard this, the record that he did with Major Lazer?
No.
Apparently it's a Major Lazer record and Pharrell's rapping for 3 minutes, 3 minutes straight.
Mm.
And apparently it's pretty dope, but it got lost. Like it came out, I think the day before they put it up on iTunes Radio. So it kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Right.
But I was hearing good things about it before, you know, before it dropped. So.
So track four is Gush.
Yes.
Now this.
This is that Neptune sound that you and I, you know, was so hype over for nearly 3 hours and 2 weeks.
I was waiting to hear, like, you know, 2003, you know, Usher come in on this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this feels like to me.
A couple of these records are very 03 to 05, 06 Neptunes, which is a great thing for me.
Kind of. I want to talk about that when we get to the end, but this record really brought me back. But this is really what it's like, incredibly well produced. I love the hook. I love the little reference to Light Your Whatever on Fire. I'm like one of 10 people to remember that song. Yeah, I like this record a lot.
What was the radio edit of that? Was it That Thing or something?
Oh, see, now you're gonna hold on.
It's probably just an edit. I think it was just an edit.
That video was.
Yeah, let's not talk about that video. That video, yeah.
Not a fan?
No, let's just not talk about it.
But we both really like Gush.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you get to Happy, and Happy really fits in well with the rest of the album.
It does.
You know, it's a huge smash right now. A lot of people listening to this right now, like, we don't have to say much about it, but like, Happy's grown on me. I read an article, somebody compared it, they called it 2014's answer to Hey Ya.
Mm.
And I was like, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
And what, you know, it's one of those things, like, this will get played out.
I'm already good.
It's getting there. That's what happens when you're number one in the country.
And that's what happens when, you know, nerds like us who have had songs for 6 to 8 months and played them a lot, then everybody else gets it and they play it a lot. And we get all, you know. So that's all it is. But I said this on Twitter a few times that, you know, our grandchildren will probably be dancing to this record, and I still stand behind that. This is a record that's going to travel for ages.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is this record sort of marks the end of this is like, okay, that's part one of the album. Because to me, the second half of the album is very different.
Completely different, yep.
And we get to Come Get It, Bae, featuring Miley. I can't believe I like this song.
It's okay.
Miley is to this album as Gwen Stefani was to 2006 Pharrell.
Yeah, I saw that comparison that you made. I don't know if any of those records on Miley's album are in the same vein as Holla Back Girl.
This is essentially Holla Back Girl Part 2.
I meant for Miley. Like,
oh,
Miley's,
right.
The records those, that Pharrell did for Miley.
Those records are better than people realize.
I
would not be surprised if this is the second single. I already saw it in a Red Bull commercial today.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This, you know, we've now, so the way to sum up the first five records is Pharrell is doing his thing where he makes records that sound like 70s soul or 80s pop.
Mm-hmm.
This marks, well, at least this song. Now he's like, oh, remember, I can do kind of offbeat, funky stuff too. I'm not gonna lie, that is one critique I have of the album. Like, I wish we had a little more of that. Mm-hmm. We get some of that. But I like Come Get It, Bae. I can't wait for people to, you know, go on Urban Dictionary and try to figure out what Bae means. But anyway. But you're just okay on this one, not a fan?
Yeah, I'm not big on this record.
Okay. Dust to Wind with Daft Punk. How you feel about this?
This record is dope. I'm not the biggest fan of Daft Punk on the hook.
I hear you.
I just may not be a Daft Punk fan. And, I think that's just what it is. But other than that, I like this record. It's a dope record.
I mean, this is them really fulfilling like the promise of the Daft Punk album, and they're really just trying to take us completely back to 1981 with this.
Yeah.
It's somehow like slow but danceable at the same time. But it's dope. I like this record. And so we get to the two records in one song. This is Lost Queen and Frequency.
Yeah.
I really like these combo of songs.
This record is dope. This record is very dope.
So the first up is Lost Queen, which is weird but really dope. And then he brings in the 808 drum kit, and I was like, oh, I did not expect that to happen. It's somewhat the technique of the melody and the beat kind of reminds me a little bit of what he did on Beyonce's album. Right, where the record with Frank Ocean, where he's like doing the little hum melody in the background, like kind of the same concept to me.
Superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, this is a very different song. It feels different than that, but I really like Lost Queen, the first part of this.
I like the other record.
And Frequency, JoJo. Remember her?
Yeah. Nah, there's no remember her. She's been in label limbo forever.
From
my understanding, she was putting out mixtapes, and she has a really solid fan base that you know have been waiting on her to get out of her deal that she could do something. Because from my understanding, she's doing some joints. She's done some joints apparently. She's definitely grown out of that Get Out right now. So
she's always been able to really sing.
Yeah.
And it's weird that she's always been in label limbo because she can really sing. And like, let's be honest, she's attractive. And typically, if you have that combination, you're good. Right? Someone's going to give you an opportunity and give you money, but something, it just, you know, I don't know. She had behind the scenes problem. I don't really know what's going on, but it just never really clicked for her. But she might, you know, nowadays I feel like people have more opportunities than ever. But I feel like it's always also a little more random than it used to be too. But I don't know. I like in terms of sequencing, I love that it's like, it's just a totally different feel from the rest of the album. And it's a totally different, like, you know, it's a great change in tempo. It's a great change in like, in just the tone of the song. Like, I really like this Lost Queen Frequency combo. Probably might be my favorite record on the album.
Okay.
It's
up there. It's up there.
And then we get to I Know Who You Are with Your Girl.
The Blackberry Queen.
How you feel about this record?
I actually like this record. I actually like this record. And I've been very critical of Alicia Keys' music in the last 6 years. But I like this record.
This record is uninspiring.
Oh, stop.
I'm really cool with this.
I think you just don't like Alicia Keys.
It's not true.
I just think that you, like most of us, are Big Diary fans, and anything after that is eh or nah. with a nod to her, with a nod to her Unplugged. Her Unplugged was dope.
Right.
But, you know, As I Am was all right. Had a couple joints, but anything after that, nope.
I don't like the beat on this. Alicia Keys honestly has nothing to do with how I feel about this record. It's a, to me, like, and maybe this is me being a producer, so I'm biased. It's a Pharrell record. If the beat doesn't capture me, we're in huge problems. Like that's not gonna work.
That's very true. Pharrell is definitely. Do you want to hear Pharrell on? Do you want to hear Pharrell sing? Because rapping's a little different. But do you want to hear Pharrell sing on non-Neptunes production?
No, never.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really the Alicia Keys record. I can live without. And then we close with It Girl.
Yeah.
How you feel about this?
I like this record.
This is not the strongest closer to me. This song is it's cool.
You know what's funny though about this album? I don't look at this as an album. To me, it feels like a collection of songs.
Mm.
And I'm not necessarily like mad at that. I think I just want a bunch of songs from Pharrell, not necessarily like a full body of work, unless it's, you know, what I thought the Pharrell album was going to be, which was, you know, him and Chad doing production and then all of his A-list friends, you know, making music on it. Then I'd want some sort of cohesion. But yeah, just, all right, this is a Pharrell album that he wanted to do to celebrate women. And he wanted to do it. Yeah. All right, cool. I'm cool with that. So if this isn't the strongest closer on the album, I'm cool with that.
Nah,
it's a dope song.
It's not a dope song. It's an okay song. Oh, bugger. I've heard this record done better by him before. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It.
And so.
So I like, you know, 3/4 of this album. I like it. I like 3/4 of this album a lot.
Okay.
And then, you know, Hunter and the last two tracks, I'm like, you know. I can let him play out, and that's fine. You know, it's cool. I can let it play out. Like when I did the, you know, the iTunes radio stream thing or whatever, I just let him play, and that was fine. But, like, you know, I'm not seeking any of those three tracks out. But the rest, the records that I do like, I like a lot.
Now, does this need a 1.5? Or is this just, you know?
I mean, sure. I mean, you could, I mean, I, you know, you can always edit. I mean, I don't know. Here's really overall my only problem, my sort of like the big thematic problem that I have with this album, which is just this feels like Pharrell, and maybe this is what he wanted to do, but like it feels like he's finally like closing a chapter of his career that started with Fron.
Mm. Okay.
I know Pharrell can make late 70s soul joints and early 80s Quincy Jones joints. We know this. Mm. He can turn them out. He can flip them a little bit. We get it. He does them very well. We have a whole career of it, and now he's got an album of it.
Wow.
I also know Pharrell can be totally different.
Yeah.
I'm going to be greedy and say, okay, cool. Pharrell, you've got this. You have number one. You're going to have number one album in the country, number one smash single. This is your moment. Basically a pop star. Right?
But
that's great. But there's a huge but then you look at the other work that he's done. Right? We know he can do more like, it's weird to call it like NERD, there's like heartfelt stuff, especially in those first couple NERD albums.
Mm-hmm.
We know he can sonically that he can also be inventive. Right? Like Pharrell has two general modes. He's either being derivative in a very clever way,
mm-hmm.
or he's being totally off the wall inventive. I've over the past 14 months, we've now heard a whole lot of derivative Pharrell. Right? 70s and 80s spun in a brand new way. I get it. I just don't, I need a new, you know, I'm spoiled. So, okay, cool. I kind of want the weird Pharrell to come back eventually. He could do this. This is totally fine. A lot of records on him I'm going to listen to, especially once the weather gets warmer. But eventually, I kind of want weird Pharrell to come back. Mm. You know what I mean?
It's just almost time. Like, because to me, his three biggest records are Happy, Get Lucky, and Blurred Lines. And even though Columbia said, here's a bunch of money, do what you want, they didn't say that.
Maybe that's true.
This is a hybrid of those three songs.
For the most part.
For the most part. So he satisfies this wave that he's on, because it goes along with your theory of, you know, the closing the chapter of this fronting Pharrell. Because, you know, those three records are definitely the children of fronting and Say Something and some of the other records that he's done.
Right.
So, you know, now, you know, since he's put out an album of a bunch of Happies, a bunch of Get Luckies, and a bunch of Blurred Lines, now it's just time for another NERD album. And I think that another album that solidifies my point is the Mayor Hawthorne album. It's still there. Reach Out Richard, Wine Glass Woman. Like, it's that Pharrell is still there. He's very much alive. So he just had to get this out of his system. And I just think now it's time for another NERD album.
I feel like they really missed an opportunity with Frontin. Like, to really take it back. Like, how they didn't go. Because basically, for the most part, huge chunks of this album could have basically been done 10 years ago. Right? Maybe not.
I don't think the culture was ready.
Maybe that's true. Maybe they weren't ready for an album of Frontin's.
You're not ready for this one.
But so that all being said, I still like this album. But I just, you know, it's funny. That's gonna sound, I can't believe I'm saying this. Beyonce has raised the bar.
She has.
She has totally raised the bar. Right? She made an R&B album harder than most rap albums.
Mm.
Right? Production that, for many songs, was completely inventive.
Mm.
Right? An album full of songs that can be hits.
Mm.
I now expect a little more.
I'm gonna tweet that.
Go ahead. Can't believe I'm saying, you know, before her album, what, so, 3 months ago, her album hasn't even been out for 3 months yet. 3 months ago, that would have sounded like the most insane statement ever. But it's true.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
Anything else you want to say about this Pharrell? Actually, so overall, how do you feel about the Pharrell album? Because I've been doing all the talking.
You have. Again, I like the album. It's not what I expected, and that I was expecting a bunch of frontends and all that stuff. And I just want the weather to change so that I can, you know, fully process it the way that it was intended to be processed, which is, you know, barbecues, Saturdays,
right,
stuff like that. So I'm waiting on that to happen. I think with the winter that we've had, it's been very snowy, very dry. I think a lot of us are all wintered out, and I think a lot of us have cabin fever, and we are dying for the summer to come. And I really think that it's going to be a really summery summer. So very, very hot, very, and this will be one of the part of the summer for a lot of us in a good way. So I'm just waiting on that.
You just need that first, like, 60-degree day.
Yeah.
I hear that.
I'm skinny, so I'm cold all the time. I need 80 and 90-degree days.
No, that's too much. That's my problem with living in the Northeast. We basically have, like, a 4-week window in the spring and, like, a 4 to 6 week window in the fall when it's finally not freezing. And it's finally not so, you know, unbearably humid yet. That's it. I don't understand. Like, look, I love Northeast. Like, my family's here. I live here. I don't understand why so many people want to live here. The weather's awful.
People want to live in Connecticut?
Apparently.
Okay, I didn't know that.
throwing shade at my home state. No diss.
Do we want to talk about the controversy of about the cover?
Yeah, we could finish with that before we get to side B.
It's so stupid.
So tell me. So tell the good people about the controversy.
So this is the controversy. A bunch of people who are insecure and want the world to basically revolve around, you know, their convictions, or not even their convictions. Their, I don't know. Like, it's just, it was just corny. Basically, Pharrell has three women on the cover, a light-skinned black girl, and I believe two white women. And the outrage was from the "Where are the dark-skinned women" on the album cover. It's just so stupid. Just really stupid. Like, are you serious? Really? And Pharrell, and I'm not even going to get into much of it, but Pharrell responded perfectly on the Breakfast Club interview.
What did he say?
He basically said, you know, if you actually listen to the context of the album, if you listen to the first song on the album, Marilyn Monroe is basically talking about how he wants a girl who does not look like the status quo. Look at his wife. She doesn't look like the status quo. She's a very unique looking woman, and not in a bad way. But he's like, you know, my wife is black. The woman who runs my company is black. You know, if we really want to go there, I can go there. But that's not the point. It's just it's just stupid. Like, why are we having light skin, dark skin conversations in 2014? Why? It's stupid. It's dumb. It is really dumb. For real.
I'm staying far away from this.
All right.
As I should. Very far away. All right. So I think that's it for this side of Clock Radio Speakers this week.